The title for my sermonette today is The Promises of God. This is a very broad topic, and being able to rope such a topic into a tiny little sermonette is a hard thing to do. Sorry, Mr. Link, I might be up here for a long time. Just kidding. I will do my best to wrap this up very quickly. Brethren, we should know that God always keeps his promises. And I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and beginning in verse 11 to 14. And this is where we are going to spend our time today. Let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever clung to a promise in the middle of uncertainty? You see here in Jeremiah chapter 29, what God is saying to these Israelites is that he is going to take care of them. He's going to help them. But these people are in exile. They are in the middle of uncertainty and certainly great pain and suffering. They were in the middle of a very hard season, being in captivity. They had lost their homeland. They had lost everything that gave them individuality. I'm sure they had a great sense of hopelessness and probably great fear. We, as God's people, in a sense, are in this same boat that the Israelites were in at that time. We face our own forms of exile. We have our own griefs, our own disappointments. We have our own confusion and trials. And we live in a world that is surrounded by a growing darkness. But yet God's promise still stands, as it did for the Israelites, and as it does for us. Turning to verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. For I know the plans I have for you." God is not distant. He is not disorganized. He knows exactly what he is doing. And the plans are his. They're not random. They're not recycled. They're not useless. But they're tailored plans for each and every one of us. Even when our lives start to feel off course, they start to feel frustrating, God's plans are still in motion. God doesn't deal in vague terms, generic good vibes. His plans are intentional and personal. They are tailor-made for us. And even in exile, like Israel was, he told them his promise still stood. It was still something that was going to happen to them. It's like a getting lost, which is a little bit harder to do these days because we all have cell phones. But when you get off track with a cell phone, right, and you start to wind your way around, maybe you're wanting to get lost a little bit in a city, the GPS will reroute you. And that's just like God. He knows where we are going, where he wants to lead us, and he is going to lead us in that direction. Part 2 of verse 11 here, "The plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God said these words to Israel while they were in the middle of their hardship. Not after they had gone out of exile, but while they were in the middle of it, while they were going through it. God's heart is not for harm, but for healing and for hope. In Matthew 9, verse 12, Christ said, "Those who are sick are the ones who are in need of his physician." Showing that God is truly the truest physician for all types of sicknesses that we face. The hope that God gave here to the Israelites, it wasn't wishful thinking. It was a confident expectation that he was going to accomplish something in the near future. And it still took time for God to bring this to pass. With God, it's not just survival, but it's restoration and growth. His plans are for us, not against us, even when we don't understand them. And a lot of the times, honestly, I don't understand his plans. Sure would like to. Not every plan that God has for us is going to be uplifting. But if we look to define God based on our life circumstances, then we won't have an accurate picture of God. We cannot see the whole future. We can't even see the whole picture. But we can trust God who does. Verse 12 and verse 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and you will find me when you have searched for me with your whole heart." You see, God tells us exactly what to do when we don't know. He tells us to come and to call upon him, which is a direct contrast of calling upon ourselves, trying to find the answers on our own, banging our head on that wall, which we all seem to do a lot as human beings. You know, God doesn't just offer blessings. He offers himself if we search for him. I think these verses show that God is trying to woo his people by inviting us to come to him in prayer, by seeking this closeness that he desires to have with each and every one of us. God isn't hiding. He wants to be found. He wants to draw us to himself. What if the greatest blessing isn't the fulfilled promises that he talks about, or the prayers that are answered? What if the greatest blessing is the intimacy that is built as we go through our lives, as we come to him constantly, prayerfully, in seeking to understand from the one who has these plans for us? Verse 14, "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive." A promise of return, a promise of restoration, a promise of renewal. Captivity can look different for each of us. Shame, fear, grief, pain, struggle, or illness. And yet God says he will still bring us back to him. The promise isn't just about escape. It's about freedom through him, with him. There is no broken story that is beyond his reach. And God's promises weren't just for the Israelites then, they're for us now. He gives us hope. He continues to ask us to draw close to him. He continues to restore us. When we find God, when we search for him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, we can know and we can have a trust in him that we wouldn't otherwise have. And trust in God is everything. Trust the plans I have for you. It's okay to go through whatever you're going through because I will be there. I will meet you there. I will lead you, guide you, and direct you. That is what God is telling us. In Hebrews 10 and verse 23, it tells us, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Even if we're holding on by a thread, we need to make sure that it's tied to a promise, and that we hold on to that promise. I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, where it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us."